Can you hammer a 6-inch spike through a board with your penis?
Not right now.
A girl's gotta have her standards.
Toga! Toga!
My brothers could be watching me right now. Just ask me about my wiener, please.
Excuse me. But you guys are gonna get pitch slapped so hard, your man boobs are gonna concave.
Toga party.
When I used to dream about going to college, this is the way I always pictured it.
Wait a minute, when did you dream about going to college?
When I used to fall asleep in high school. How can you study but not relax?
Toga party.
The first person in my family to pretend to go to college.
Toga! Toga!
You got into Harvard Law?
What, like it's hard?
Toga party.
In other words, you need to forget about all the normal rules that apply to both college and society.
You know, you really don't need a forensics team to get to the bottom of this. If you guys were the inventors of Facebook, you've invented Facebook.
Relationship status. Interested in. This is what drives life in college. Are you having sex or aren't you? It's why people take certain classes and sit where they sit and do what they do.
Toga party.
Don't be a fool! Stay in school!
Most people want to get out of school so they can make money. You're trying to make money to stay in school.
Well, let's get those nerds!
Into our new fraternity, Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
Toga party.
I'm here to talk to you about playing football for Notre Dame.
Why did you work at the most prestigious technical college in the whole f***ing world?
I'm a zit. Get it?
All about fire.
Nice, John.
That was good. It was. I see the theme here. Yes. It seems to be like a lot of college themes.
College,
going on here.
College, yeah. Themed movies. We had Real Genius. That was the first one. Can you hammer a nail?
Oh,
with
yeah.
Penis? Yeah, yeah. Pitch Perfect. Back to School. 22 Jump Street. Old School. Social Network. Van Wilder. Revenge of the Nerds. Good Will Hunting. I've never seen that movie.
I never did either.
But that's like the one that put
that
those two guys on
Matt
the map.
Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Yeah, though. Now he's Batman, and he started off with that. I think they like right.
I hear he sucks as Batman. No, that's
he was okay as Batman. He was the least sucky thing about that movie.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. We talked about that last time. But yes, I took my son and you're good. You can hear yourself.
No, yeah.
I took my son and my girlfriend Pauline's son to look at a bunch of colleges. We went to University of North Dakota, in this order. We went to University of North Dakota, Minnesota State University, Moorhead, and then North Dakota State University.
All right.
And I got two words for you. Hammock club.
Hammock club.
There's actually a club for hammock people.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. If you just, it's amazing what they have at school these days. If you want to just like,
that's why they go for 6 years. Well, they like it.
There's no reason. There was, we were there today at North Dakota State University. there's three cafeterias, like restaurants, where you can go eat at any time. It's like being on a cruise ship.
I know.
It's like being on a cruise.
How about the Flame Bingo?
And the one was like, and they had like the pasta bar and this and that and that. And they're like, but if you don't like what we're cooking for you, we have a grill here. It's like a professional kitchen, and you can cook whatever you want. You can make your own food.
I can see that, because then they'll be like, Dad, I want steak tonight, and you got to come to college and cook it for him because he hasn't done nothing.
Well, no, they were there. They were sitting there cooking. They were sitting there cooking their own stuff.
Yeah, providing the kid knows how to cook. But, you know, most
of
these.
How hard is it? It's a flat top.
I don't know. Ask Dean last time he cooked.
That's what
I'm talking about.
Throws a hot pocket into the thing.
You're,
and then
you're giving the
go.
Guy a grill with flames and everything. You know, this
I mean,
is,
but that's the selling point of the school is how much food can we get?
One thing I will say about college kids and food. Boy, they eat a lot. Let me tell you.
I mean, we
feed them around here every season, and
right.
You know, my dad goes to the store and picks up a pound of lunch meat. I'm like, a pound of lunch meat. This is you're talking about you're feeding seven homeless people here.
Yeah.
I mean, these people want to eat. I mean, you got to buy 4 pounds of lunch meat, and then you have at least enough for. a couple of days, you know, you had a sandwiches today and then maybe 3 days later having sandwiches again. But I mean, you can't just buy a pound.
And that's how they sell you. That's how they talk it up. And they're like, and we have this class and that class and this major and that major. And we're very accredited. But the food, you should see, you know, we have this kitchen, that kitchen. This one is,
it's all about food and alcohol in North Dakota. And, let me tell you.
That's and the girls too. And it's like, did you ever see them? It reminded me of that movie. Remember the movie with Chevy Chase, Funny Farm, where he was trying to sell the house?
Oh, Cue the deer.
Cue the deer. Yeah, perfect. That's exactly my point. Cue the girls. It was like on cue,
the boat. I had a girl waving at me. I'm like, it happens all the time. And the guy's like, wow, is she a knock? I'm like, yeah, when you buy this boat, you always got them. You know,
there was this, at one point, we're walking down, it was University of North Dakota, we're walking down a hallway. My son and Stoli and myself and the tour guide, and as we're walking down the hallway, this very attractive girl walks really fast and walks in front of him. And now, like all college students, she has a backpack on. Okay, but we don't know what's in the backpack because everything is done computerized these days. But so she's got the backpack. She's got the backpack on, and she had these really short shorts. And she had a sweater. But what happened is the sweater rode up because the backpack was pulling it up. So this girl with her butt cheeks hanging out walks in front of the boys, and of course they're startled. But then, cue the deer, this other very attractive co-ed comes running in front of them, and it looked like they didn't know each other, but she comes running up, and she goes and she grabs the girl's shorts and pulls them down and like pats her on the butt and says, your butt is showing. And then she's, thank you. I mean, I thought the top of their heads were going to blow off.
This is too make-believe here. Let me tell you.
That doesn't happen in real life, does it?
No, you're going to pay $30,000 a year. You're not going to learn nothing. And there's not going to be any more women in that school.
Well, you know what? The schools here aren't that bad. It's less than 20. And that's without any scholarships or whatever. It's less than 20 a year at those two schools, University of North Dakota and North Dakota State. They had this one room at North Dakota State. They had this one room. It was like, imagine if you're at a wedding, okay? This is the classroom. You know how usually they have the auditoriums and you have a lecturer and you have a professor down at the bottom, almost like a movie theater, right? They had this one room. This is like the new thing these days, I guess, or the state of the art. So they had this room. It's like being at a wedding, like being at, Cafe La Cave back home or whatever. And the professor stands in the middle of the room. Like, imagine he's standing on the dance floor. And he's got this podium on both sides of him. And then there's just all these big, like, banquet-looking tables with, plugs in the middle and, like, 10 chairs around it, but the plugs for your computer or whatever. And around the perimeter of this room must be 40 big screen TVs. It's like being in a Buffalo Wild Wings on steroids. Wow. And so the professor stands in the middle and he gives his lecture, but then all of the notes and everything are on all these TVs, but they want the kids to be able to talk to each other, side by side or whatever. It's unbelievable. And they even had this thing, they called it anonymous texting. So they have the capability where you can like log in or whatever. And I don't know if this is a good idea, but you can text the teacher. Like if you have a question, sometimes kids don't want to ask a question because they feel it's a stupid question.
Can't raise your hand no more.
Yeah, right. Now you text the teacher. But he doesn't know
who it is.
No. Oh. No. Does it need to be anonymous?
Does he stop in the lecture then?
Yeah, and would answer the question.
And then he stops and texts you back.
No, he would answer the question. I'm imagining if he sees like more than one text saying, hey, I don't get that, he'll be like, seeing
so he's
here.
He's going to say it. Basically, once again, we coddle the children. So we, instead of them raising a hand and asking a question in public around everybody else, now you text anonymously, and then the professor will talk about it. This way we never know who asked the question.
You never know who, and then you don't.
I just see a pattern, though. I just see a pattern.
They're all hiding behind this technology.
Well, yeah, I just see a pattern of non-communication. Like, how would our podcast be if we just sat here and texted each other? You hear the vibration in the microphone. Let me answer Ron. I mean,
depending on how many people listen, some people would say we're not communicating.
I mean, I just don't know if it's I don't know. I just think there should be more interaction. With teachers, students. I think there should be a lot. Well, I've always felt that way, and I pride myself on growing up. with a lot of older adults that really taught me a lot about life. But I really, when I meet somebody, a young kid or whatever, and they're very talkative and ask a lot of questions, I'm very impressed by that because I mean, that's what it takes, in my opinion, to get ahead in life.
Oh, absolutely.
You can have the greatest education, but you got to have common sense. You got to be well-liked. I think you have to be well-liked.
Very much so. Swim in your pond.
Yeah, mingle and get along with people.
You have to look engaged.
Yeah, and more people respect you.
Right.
You know, some kids don't say nothing. Like, they just...
And
I think it really, but I think it all starts at home, and that it is being promoted in school that you don't have to talk. You
know? Yeah, I don't know if it's it definitely is at home to some point. I mean, there are, you know, it does start at home, but it's also it's the situation. Some kids might be only children, or some kids might go to small schools and things like that too, which hinders them socially. Like, I don't know how kids who are like homeschooled, how they manage it because. Yeah. I mean, that's just...
I just know, like, you know, our pinball expert guy, you know, Rob Burke, you know, he's got the young son. You know, he's got four daughters, and the last one was a boy. And, you know, this is just, you know, no offense to the girls, but it's the apple of his eye. You can just tell, you know.
Right, right.
And now, you know, Jaden had an office in the Burke Enterprise building, you know, he's like 7 years old. Uh-huh. He'd go in there and color, you know, and then the father make him wear a suit on certain days and come into the office. And I can see how this kid has developed over the years. Now, every time Rob Burke will call me on the phone, he'll say, "Oh, Johnny, hold on a minute. Jaden wants to say hello to Uncle Johnny." And then he immediately puts Jaden on the phone saying, "That kid doesn't want to talk to me." You know, he doesn't, but his father...
Right.
Makes him engaged.
Right.
And that kid is going to grow up a salesman. And he's going to take over the company, but he's grooming him already to be very sociable. And then when we do the Las Vegas show, I meet other families, and I'm not going to go into religious backgrounds, but I'm just saying that particular people, they really engage their children in business and talking with customers and talking with other people and working with other people from a young age.
Right.
And
well, they understand the importance of it.
And they just really, and the kid grows up, I think, such a much more rounded education, but they're also so socially academic. It's just unbelievable.
Right, right. There was another thing I noticed. Every school had a rock wall, a rock climbing wall. Is that like an important thing these days in college, rock climbing?
Well, you know what it is. I mean, you have to. I think it's like Saturday morning cartoon.
I can't wait for this one.
Well, no, it's a Saturday morning cartoon. College is a Saturday morning cartoon.
Okay.
You play a commercial on Saturday morning cartoon, and then the kid tells you what he wants for Christmas. He lets you know where he wants to go eat, what he wants to do, because he's the one that makes decisions in your house. You think you do, he does.
Right, right.
So basically, you feed the kid good, you give him a rock climbing wall, cue a couple of these young girls with no
cue
shorts on, cue the deer.
That's so awesome you knew that line, cue
then,
the deer.
And then basically, the kid's like, "I want to go to that school," because at the end of the day, he's going to pick it.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
I mean, there are some parents that, "No, you're not picking a school. I'm, you know, I went there, and you're going to go there, and my grandfather went there." But but in today's world, the kids never hear the word no, so give them, you know, just like that other health club that tries to soak me for $100 a month.
Lifetime Fitness?
Lifetime Fitness. You give me a rock climbing wall, you give me a pool, you give me this. But what they don't realize is I don't want to be with all those children. So they lost me as a customer. But they appeal. But they're appealing to the families that come in. They're like, "Oh, I want to go to the Lifetime."
Right.
So basically, college is Saturday morning cartoon to me.
Yeah, and actually, as we are at University of North Dakota, this will be the last one, but I saw a lot of posters on the wall. I think it's tomorrow morning is their annual Undie Run. And they had a bunch of pictures of just bras and bikini bottoms. Yeah. So it's going to be a bunch
of... Anything about education?
No, nothing. Not really. No.
You got a bunch
Undie
of TV
run.
Sets. You got a rock climbing wall.
Rock climbing wall.
You got
food.
Undie, you got food and you got Undie.
You got Undie Run. Yeah.
But
so
see, it doesn't matter if they give them an education because they get your money. And
you
they
got
a
hammock
club.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good thing. Let's teach a college kid to sleep more. He sleeps enough.
Yes. Here, and I got this thing here. I will just go real quick. 15 most ridiculous college courses you won't believe are being taught.
Belmont University in Nashville. Oh, look, a chicken. That's an actual course.
Yeah, great.
Demis-
sounds like a Jeopardy game.
In
500 for, oh, what's a chicken?
Oh, look, a chicken, yeah. Demystifying the hipster. Columbia College in Chicago. Zombies in popular media. In North Carolina, what if Harry Potter is real? Really, we need a class for that.
Yeah.
In Ohio, how does it feel to dance? And we know how I feel about pets. Here's one that really got me. In New York, pattern making for dog garments.
Well, we ought to put you in that class. Yeah. So you got a love for dogs.
Here's one in Berkeley, California. The joy of garbage.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, and here's one. Let's see if you can guess the state which this one is in. Queer musicology.
I'd say that'd be East Coast.
No,
California.
California. Yeah. In Washington D.C., Hunger Games class, politics and marketing. Number six, learning from YouTube in California. Learning it from YouTube. Science from superheroes to global warming is number three. Or number five. Number four, Lady Gaga and the Sociology of Fame.
I would go to that class.
You would go to that one? Yeah, Lady Gaga? Yeah. You're a monster? You're a little monster? Is that what she calls me? Okay.
I like that.
I would like to see
I'm a Lady Gaga.
I would like to see you in a Lady Gaga class. In Oregon, juggling.
Oregon, I got nothing else to do. I mean, if you get a job at a circus, you're doing good.
There you go. Well, they have Clown College. You guys should go be fun. And here's one. Here's one. And this might be like
Clown College. I started it.
This one. You would have to like. You might have an internal debate if you would rather go to the Lady Gaga and the Sociology Fame or the Sociology of Miley Cyrus. That's a class. Which one would you prefer?
Oh, I'd take Lady Gaga.
You'd take Lady Gaga?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
What's her father's name, Miley Cyrus's father's name?
Isn't it Billy Ray?
Billy Ray,
Billy Ray Cyrus?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah, Hogwarts is another one. Wasting time on the internet is another one. Selfie. There's a selfie class.
I'd take that.
Politicizing Beyonce is
that
one.
That I don't. Yeah.
Miley Cyrus. Jay-Z and Kanye West. Really? The art of walking. At University of North Dakota, there's a beginning to walking or something. Like we really, and here's a picture, surviving the zombie apocalypse. This is a college course. These are, this is guerrilla altruism.
It would be like Prince in a Mortuarium.
Oh, God.
Prince. Hey, let's talk about this. Prince.
About Prince? He was a rock god.
All I know is this. I get a trivia question emailed to me twice a day. I don't know how they got my email address, but they emailed me a trivia question, and actually pretty interesting. In fact, we did one the other day.
You're good.
Where
with
is
trivia.
The where is Cinco de Mayo most celebrated? And naturally, I said, it's got to be Mexico. And here it was Mexico, Spain, Portugal, United States.
Right.
It's actually United States, which I was flabbergasted. But anyways, every now and then I'm a little wrong on those trivia questions.
Of course.
But so I get this trivia question all the time, and. I'm in China. Nobody tells me anything. And I get a trivia question asking me, what do you think Prince's estate's worth? I'm like, estate? The man's still alive. And then I read on after it gives you the answer. It was $300 million. And it reads on that
million,
this is what we lost the King of Pop 2 years ago or whatever, Michael Jackson. And now we lost Prince. I'm like, lost Prince?
Oh, so you had no idea?
No idea. I mean, and I was in a bar, and I said, give me another one. And then, I realized, and I said, I'm mourning Prince.
They didn't report that where you were?
No, I had one English station on, and it was like it was a news station, but it was like London news or something. It was just I didn't know anything.
He was a
I like Prince.
He was a very eclectic dude. He would like just he has apparently like enough material because he wrote, produced, played all the instruments. He did everything. He had like enough material in his he would call it his vault.
Mm-hmm.
He had like enough material. He could put out like a new album. Every year for like the next 30 years, he's got so much material that never seen the light of day. But now I think his state, they're fighting over it because they want to just release all
that stuff. I heard that the sister who got all the money contacted his lawyer and said, make sure that all his half sisters and brothers, whatever, all sharing that money, which I thought was pretty good because legally she's the only one that could get it. And then she's, you know, giving it to everybody. So which you like to see everyone in death fights over their people's money. Uh-huh. So it is nice to see that, you know, that she's like saying, no, let's just split it up because, you know, there's so much more. I'm sure after the $300 million that it doesn't matter. But, you know, some people are funny. They want it all.
Yeah.
You know?
So and then let's take that to our pyro purge. So obviously Prince died when you were in China. So how was the trip to China? Let's talk a little bit of fireworks.
The trip to China was very good. Let's see. You know, this trip during this month is strictly for production. So there are no demos to go see. The only thing I do is make sure I go to the factories and then I take some samples out.
Did you catch anybody lying to you and say, oh, yeah, yeah, they're done, they're done, and they weren't done?
Yeah, a couple of people,
yeah, okay.
And like I tell you, this trip costs a lot of money to go, and
but it's worth it.
But it's worth it, and you have to go, but all this could be done by email if people didn't lie. And this is the whole, I think the name of the podcast, If People Don't Lie.
There you go, that's it, If People Don't Lie, remember, write it down.
Only because you have to do all this stuff. And I could answer them in an email, hey, is the product done or not? When's it going to ship? But they'll never tell you it's not done. They'll know, so it's in production, it's going to ship on this date, but everybody lies.
Right. Well, they want their money.
Yeah, and that was my whole point, was I'm no longer going to continue to pay for late containers when I can't sell the product. Because
of course.
I just keep waiting for my money every year, and I'm waiting and waiting. Yeah, yeah. And it's so, you know, that's why this trip, it's not... it's not saving the company money. It's saving the company is the way I look at it.
Whoa, yeah, and, absolutely.
So now when, like today, we had a lot of wholesalers come in and different customers come in. But now we can look on a sheet and say it's it's not in, but it's shipped on May 10th or it's shipped on May 9th, and then it'll be here by June 1st. So at least we have a direct answer. And, you know, and this year... because of the way I run things in China, we did a lot better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
So most of our product will be in by June 1st or June 2nd, which is a huge accomplishment lately in China because people aren't getting their merchandise and, you know, government's involved and all kinds of stuff. So it is a little bit tricky. So this trip is good. And then by going twice a year, this just strengthens my relationships with the Chinese people.
Well, yeah, and I think it also it points out to them that you don't mess around, and hey, Johnny's coming back. So if we don't get this product on the water, he's going to cancel the order.
Yeah.
We know it. He's not like one of these other guys. He's going to cancel the order. We got to get it done.
And it actually worked out pretty good. But like I said, it just strengthens your relationship. And I'm not saying they all lie. It's just that they don't want to turn down anything. And I don't blame them. But I also want to be in a position to sell this stuff and not warehouse it. But it was a good trip to China, and I stayed at my favorite hotel in Hong Kong, and you make the best of it.
Langham Palace.
Yeah, Langham Place.
Did you go on the club floor?
Yeah, the Club L floor. I just love the Club L floor.
I remember Halloween.
Yeah, that's right, Halloween.
We were there in Halloween, yeah.
So, it was a good trip, and
so
I enjoyed it.
Is there anything that's not going to be coming, or... any shortages?
Well,
any surplus?
Well, my gender reveal cakes aren't going to make it. I was a little upset about that. I really wanted to.
That's not really a 4th of July thing, though, so you'd be all right with
that.
Yeah,
and that's
what
I said. You know, we're going to do them for the PGI. We'll bring them to the PGI.
Oh, that'll be good. So one's going to be pink, one's going to be blue?
Daddy's little girl, and that's my boy. You know, little boy's on a fire engine. Daddy's little girl's holding a little sparkler. Yeah, you know.
I'm still very upset there's no pyro podcast cake.
Yeah,
we
need to do
it. We got a new logo.
Well, we're going to have to do a new pyro podcast. Name with the new logo
there
or whatever like that.
Yeah,
logo looks nice. Yeah. I noticed when I was looking over the script, the logo kind of shaded, kind of blocked my printing a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, trying to read inside the triangle.
There
I was wondering if I was missing a few words there. Yeah, but
there you go.
I do like the new logo, and I like the, we was going to do a pyro. We got a pyro playhouse.
We do have the pyro playhouse.
We got Fireball.
We got
and
Fireball.
We have,
all come from the podcast. Yeah.
Silver Ball Mania. Silver Ball Mania, you know, named after the... pinball guys. We've done a pretty good number for everybody. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So, and And then another, yeah, it's good that you know when the product's coming in, because like, so and actually I'm very excited because you know, over the last three or four podcasts, I want to say probably at least, mm-hmm. we've been doing them from my house in Palatine.
Yeah.
Here today, here right now, we're in Fargo, North yeah. Dakota as we speak, and the dealer show is tomorrow, so I'm excited because now we're going to be out. So the next one we do after this will be back here in Fargo when yep. I'm here for retail week. And then after that is PGI and PGI, the NFA. Yep. And then hopefully I'll get to do one in Cabo or whatever. Yep. So we're going to start moving again. Yeah. So, but I'm here today because tomorrow is the dealer show. But that could be very, that could make you look bad if you shoot off, say you got one case of something or whatever, you shoot off a cake tomorrow and a bunch of people like it. And you sell a bunch of it with thinking that this product is going to be on the water. And next thing you know,
yeah.
you don't get it till after the fourth. That you know, then next time people aren't going to be so wanting to give you
and
the order.
And what we do now is we just take it off the list. You know, when you have a list of 1,000 items and you're missing.
Is that how many items?
Yeah, and
1,000?
You're missing, oh, you know, God. Like 27 of them.
They don't notice.
Nobody knows it. But you would be surprised that. How it's amazing how they pick the items
that
you
don't
have.
Yes, of course.
You have all this money in inventory, buildings full of merchandise, can't even move in them, and they always seem to pick the one you don't have.
Welcome to retail, my friend. Oh. At least you don't have to worry about sizes, right?
No, thank God.
At least in small, medium, large.
You don't have to worry about sizes. You don't have to worry about returns. You know what I mean? Returns yeah. would drive me crazy. I mean, we do get a very, I mean, very little number of returns, but here at Star Fireworks, we've always, you know, I was the first one to originate the home of the no dud guarantee, and around and open all year long to actually, you could collect on it. You know,
right,
the guy
right,
in the
right,
tent
right.
says home of the no dud guarantee. Yeah, well, when are you bringing it back?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a carnival.
Yeah, this is brick and mortar.
Yeah,
here. Nobody's
we're not
going
moving,
anywhere. Yeah.
You don't have to make a special trip the next day when you're going through the area in October. Bring it back in. And the only reason I want it back in, so I take some pictures and send it off to China and show them.
What happened? Right,
you know?
Right.
And for that, we compensate you with a gift card or another item if you like another item of the
right.
value. But so you know, that being said, when you put a lot of effort into a business like this, you want to give people your word. So if you say you don't want to show them something, then it doesn't come in, and you certainly
right.
don't want them
right.
to be able to pick from a list that's not there.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, there's a few companies I won't mention their name, but their price list actually looks like a, what I call it, the price list is almost like a novel of fireworks. It's got all these old fireworks that I've never even, that I haven't even, that I forgot.
So they haven't purged the list.
They don't even have any of them in stock. It's yeah. all out of stock. I'm like, what do you have?
It's like a Cheesecake Factory menu.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
We talked about that last night.
Yeah, Cheesecake menu, I mean, folks, really, don't be fooled by them. God.
What was the other restaurant you hated?
Claim Company.
Oh,
you
Claim
know,
Jumper?
No, Claim Company.
Oh, that's a different one?
Yeah, they're like in Oak Brook and all over. I mean, you go
okay.
there, you make your burger. He's called the Mother Load, you know. Now, we have the Mother Load firework. That's a great firework. But the Mother Load burger.
It doesn't sound appetizing.
And I'm not a burger guy anyway.
No,
so, yeah.
No.
I mean, these are, people get, you know, just it's a Saturday morning cartoon. You show
right.
these kids
right.
this, and they, you know, they dictate to where you're going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
It's a Saturday morning cartoon.
It's a Saturday morning cartoon. That's really basically what our whole world really is a
Saturday morning cartoon. Well,
yeah.
and speaking of TV shows, here I got a surprise for you. Ready?
Oh, I like surprises. I didn't like it when I was in prison.
You didn't like surprises when you were in prison?
No.
Oh, wait. Okay, wait. I'm not working here. Hold on. I have a surprise for you. We have, speaking of if people don't lie, there's a you've heard of the Twilight Zone.
Oh my God.
The Twilight Zone. Yeah. So there was a classic show, a classic episode called To Serve Man, and it's aliens come down. It's a short story. It's based on a short story written in 1950, To Serve Man. It was written by Damon Knight. The title is a play on the verb serve, which has dual meaning, to assist and to provide as a meal. So I'll leave that with you. So it's called To Serve Man.
Wow.
It's a Twilight Zone. Last time I was here, right before the dealer show, we did Batman.
Yes, I do a great impersonation
you
of
do a
Batman.
Great Batman. So you have a very big role in this one. Are you going to do it like Batman-ish?
No, I you hate to waste a Batman voice on just anything. You know, Batman voice is like something's kept in a closet. Should only come out when it's necessary.
It's you know, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, you don't want, you know, you
yeah. Yeah, why'd I cried wolf too much? You didn't get, you know.
Keep them wanting more.
I mean, I could talk like Batman every day, but then people would not know I was.
They would think that was just your normal everyday voice.
Exactly. And they would actually think that, wow, that guy sounds amazing like Batman. But they would think that's my voice, and I don't want that.
I got to know, and you're probably going to tell me. You're probably not going to answer the question, but they ever, like, you know, you're getting a little amorous with Michelle. Do you ever pull out a Batman impersonation?
No.
No.
Like I said, Batman stays in the closet until he's got to come out. I come out to fight crime. You know, when you come out to fight crime, you go in with like Batman.
You go.
You know, when I was working on the Tribune truck on the south side, I'd say, get away from the vehicle. You know, I mean, you know, Batman comes out, you know, you're, you know, it's like the Hulk. He would get antagonized.
And yeah, you get all upset.
Comes out as the Hulk, but Batman only comes out in danger, crime.
Oh, there you go.
Doesn't come out in love making.
Okay. You know, well, we got the pyro.
Step away from the bedpost. I mean, you know, come on.
I see you doing the Batuzzi and you.
The Batuzzi. I may do the Batuzzi.
Coming to bed
sometime.
In your tights and your little cape with your batarang.
Like Dino's white pantyhose.
That's a Greek outfit. That's not Dino's white pantyhose.
Hey, he's the one who called it white pantyhose. And I said, that sounds like a Prince song. My little white pantyhose.
I mean, when I come back in June, I'm going to put together, like I did. Remember the way I did the one the last time where I had all of us talk, you know, the montage over the music? Yeah. I'm going to do just you talking bad about Dino. It's going to fill up a whole song.
We never talk bad about
Dino. We do it lovingly. I came here when I arrived here Thursday, whatever it was. He's like, oh, I got the brackets for you. I'm going to give it to you. I was like, that was
five episodes again, you goof.
He's like, well, I thought it was about basketball. I was like, no, you didn't read it. It's about fireworks. So, but anyway, so we have the pyro players. We got Stoli and my son, Dean. We got the inevitable, the lovable, the incomparable Charlie Harper.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Harper. Very good.
Devin and Dino are going to sit in. And we also got Steve, who did the Riddler last year so good. He's going to do the voice of the alien.
Oh, I bet he'll play a good alien.
He'll do a good alien. So we got the pyro players, and we're going to be ready to go with To Serve Man. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And then
we're going to reenact the Twilight Zone from 1950.
It's a short story from 1950, but it was actually
Serve Man.
Yeah, but it aired. Did you ever watch Twilight Zone with Rod Serling?
Watch all the time. Yeah, remember him smoking? It was always see the smoke coming up. Yeah.
This actually aired on March 2nd, 1962 on CBS, and there's a picture of the alien. That's what it looked like on the TV show.
Yeah.
It was
Alien looks doesn't it look a little bit like Robert Plant? Or who is the guy that Queen? David Bowie.
Yeah, he does look a little like David Bowie. Yeah.
With the blonde hair. And there's another guy we lost, David Bowie. I'm just, you know, sad about these musicians. Well, you know what really kills me is I never had any money to go see them in concert. Now I have the money to go see them in concert, and they're all dying.
I know. Huh? Would you have gone to see a Prince concert?
Oh, yeah. I would love to.
I'm trying to get Nino to give me Metallica tickets, but I think he's just going to procrastinate. I may as well just go buy them myself from stuff.
And are they playing in Fargo here, or where are they playing?
No, they're playing in Minnesota at that new Minnesota. There's a
Do
you know Dino has season tickets for that?
Yeah, of course. He's a big player. Yeah, him and Josh, Golden Boy.
Is that who split them?
I think they split,
They split the four tickets.
Well, you know, when you're a high-level executive, you have all these things.
I mean, I'm
happy that I got my Baker Square... You know, my card. You know, I get 10% off if I have a pie. I mean, you know, I'm happy to have a Starbucks card. You know, season.
Nothing better than discount pie.
No, I got season tickets to the car wash. I mean, you know, you don't have to wait in line on a sunny day. I go to the front of the line. I mean, I'm happy to have these things.
Talking bad about Dino again.
No, I mean, he's a high-level executive. They have, you know, it's just a different world. I don't experience it.
You get turned on by discount pie.
That's what I'm saying. I get discount pie. I get a discount at the car wash. You know, these little perks in life that not everyone gets, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and then, like I say, when you're a rich guy, you know, you got season tickets at football games.
I know. Well, I hope he comes through for me.
Well, I hope so, too. Or, I mean, he doesn't come through for me, but I mean. No, he sent me to a baseball game once, though, which was really nice. He took a customer to a baseball game, and You know, it's $50 to park the car, but I mean,
well, yeah,
yeah. I mean, but at least I got the I got the tickets for free, and the customer was all happy, and you know,
yeah,
and
that's at Wrigley.
But you know, we like to take customers out, and let's talk about a little bit about customers. But you know, and you're a banker, and you take customers out.
Yes, I do.
And but you know, in the olden days, and I'm not going to say olden days, we're not that old, but in the days. Years ago, there were a lot of good perks with a lot of companies. And, you know, I got friends of mine that worked for Motorola and Zenith.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they went to every Super Bowl and took customers and they take people. And in today's world, you know, you just email the customer. You don't even take them out to lunch no more. Because if you're a nickel higher, they don't buy from you. See, there's no more loyalty anymore. Now, see, like you're in a bank position. Yeah. You really don't have, you know, you take these people out, but if you screw up their loan or try and raise their interest rate, they don't care if you took them out for lunch or not. You know, they're going somewhere else. I mean.
No, yeah, but it's also about relationships, too. So if somebody likes you and they like hanging out with you and you treat them well, it'll be easier to have discussions, and it just facilitates the whole transaction.
Well, I mean, like I say, in the banking business and different situations, I'm sure it applies a little bit.
It does.
But, you know, when it's a sales-related meeting and all that, and like I said, and we do it too because I do like hanging out with a lot of my customers.
Right.
But I just find that in the corporate world, there's not as many perks like that.
No.
And the reason is you can, you know, take these people out for lunch and wine and dine them, but you know, the minute you want to charge them a nickel more, you know, or 2 cents more a pound, they're out the door, you know, because there is really the loyalty factor is not there anymore, and the customer relationship is really no longer there because of the emails and calling in and talking to a voice operated operator. You know, it's just not the same personal thing anymore.
Yeah, I mean, for my job, it's not even just like for my job, it's more of. You treat them well and you wine them and dine them because when they do have that next deal, you want them to call you first.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to, because my job, it's not like I don't just, you know, I can't just sell them a product and they go away and use it. That I, you know, I have to, you know, what they're trying to sell has to make sense.
But on the same token.
And then
token,
I have to get it approved and there's a lot.
And
to
on
it.
The same token, if that guy didn't make his mortgage payment, you'd never take him out for lunch again.
Probably not.
No, never.
No,
so,
well,
no,
it's a two-way
friendships
street.
Are gone. See, that's what I mean.
Well,
you know,
it's a, you know, tit for tat, the two-way
street. Take me out for lunch and I'm giving you $5,000 a month, but now, you know, I'm falling on hard times. I can't even get a cheeseburger from you.
You're not giving us $5,000 a month. You're paying interest on your loan, and you're paying back some principal.
I'm just saying as the customer's point, like, oh, I've had a few bad months. Where's my cheeseburger? I mean, it just, you know.
Yeah, yeah, well.
But I just noticed that these different companies don't have the perks and everything, so.
No, yeah, some are cutting down.
So, yeah, so that's getting back to my original one. I think that's why a lot of these, you know, high-level, high-paying executives buy these tickets for themselves before they usually get them from their company.
Right.
You know, like the Tribune always had a skybox, and they'd go through the line every now and then, say, you want to go to the Cubs game and give you a couple tickets?
Yeah.
And that lasted about 4 days. But, you know, but so now a lot of these people, like Dino, they
is he
going to
take some star clients on his tickets and put them on his expense report?
No, you know, he's going to take windbreak people. He don't take star customers.
Does Dino get an expense report? Per diem?
No. He's, you know, what would we give him? You know, like,
I don't know.
You know, we give him $6 a month. I mean, what, you know, what can we afford here in this place? I mean, you know,
that was like a quarter a day.
Yeah,
you can afford.
No, we can. You know, we go like, you know. You know, Taco Tuesday for $1, we could do that. You know, you get $4 a month. You know, that's good.
Give him.
I sponsor a health club for him, though.
Oh, there you go. Give him a Subway card and a box of Tic Tacs.
Yeah, exactly. And then we put him in a warehouse, and that's his Johnny Star Fitness program.
That's a good workout there.
Yeah. Well, I had your son working in a warehouse, and. Stolen Stoli, I call him. He's working in a warehouse, and it was good. And I told them, this is what happens when you don't stay in school. I told him right out. So I go, this is irony right here, because you're going here to see colleges, and you may not think that college is for you, but let me tell you something, this warehouse isn't really for either of you. So, you know, just this is what happens when you stay in school, you know?
Yeah.
So I taught him a very valuable lesson, you know?
Stolle was saying, I think I could recite the name of every single firework in the place. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you probably can at this point. Yeah.
I mean, at one point, I mean, I know his mom wouldn't like it, but I was really tempted to throw him off the forklift. to just hurt him to realize I ever go to school because I could have been Christopher Reeve.
Tough love.
You know, yeah, tough love. Yeah, just throw him off the forklift, you know?
Christopher Reeve, he's blown out of his truck.
That's what I mean. And the kid's like, I should have never went to look at the college. I mean, you got to teach him to stay in school. There it's almost like that movie Scared Straight years ago. They took people into prison.
I think we found a new reality show for you.
Yeah. So, you know, at one point, I want to just knock him over. Just, you know, hurt him a little bit. So they go, I'm going to go there, Mommy. You know.
And, warehouse hell.
Yeah, yeah, warehouse hell. Now, do you, you know, now there's that new show. I saw it advertised. I'm not sure what it is, but this is a great show. You take people who have not committed a crime and you put them in a harsh prison environment.
Why would you
for 60 days?
Why would you do that?
I don't
deserve to be here. What happened?
You know, if I'm gonna wind up in prison, I'm gonna make it worth my while. I'm not gonna go there to experience prison. No, it's not a timeshare. It's not a. It's not sandals.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they lock you up in prison for 60 days. These people are there for life. They don't know that you're on a TV show per se for 60 days. You know. I want to watch a show. I want to see someone get severely beat up and say, why did I do this?
Unbelievable. I can't believe that.
I mean, and you know, prison's a great environment for some, but I'm just saying that there's people in prison that they have very violent mood swings. You know, they're not normal. You don't want to be like, one minute you're in prison and you're eating lunch with the guy, and next minute the guy's eating you for lunch.
Literally. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So, yes. You know, yeah. I mean, I don't think that you need to be in this environment for 60 days on a game show. This is not a...
I can't believe that's a game show.
And when they saw that reality TV, I'm like, yeah, you're damn right that's reality TV.
That is reality TV.
Because you're
going to
get killed. Yeah, and like I say, you don't want to make friends with a guy in there for life because... Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just it's not the same as, you know, Desperate or Housewives of New Jersey or something. You're talking about, you know, San Quentin prison and you're going there for 60 days to play.
Yeah.
I mean.
I couldn't.
And I kind of think if I was there for life and I just found out you're on a game show or something for 60 days.
Right.
You know, I'm going to make you Christopher Reeve. Yeah. I mean, you know, because you can't punish a guy in there for life no matter what he does. He kills you. He doesn't get a second life of prison.
He's still there. Nothing changed.
I mean, even the Lord doesn't want him. He's afraid he'll take over. You know, the devil doesn't want him either. He's afraid of him. The man's in there for life. Just saying.
Oh, let's get on to our alien fair. Okay,
all right. Sounds good.
Let's take a break. Let's get everybody else in here, and we're gonna go right into the Twilight Zone.
We're gonna go right into the Twilight Zone right after this.
Yes.
All righty.
Talk to you later.
Instead of spending your time on the internet searching for pearl necklaces and bigger penises, log on to fireworksbrigade.com and get in touch with the show. You're traveling through another dimension. Dimension not only of sight and sound, but a journey into the wondrous land whose boundaries are those of imagination. Your next stop, the Pyro Zone. Oh.
This is the way the nightmare begins, or more to the point, the way it ends. Very simple, direct, and unadorned, incredible, and yet even while the nightmare is happening, you'll learn to live with it. Man can digest and assimilate new information as best he can, beginning with the smallest bits, the ones that are easy to process. Johnny Starr is pacing uncomfortably in a Spartan interior.
Mr. Starr?
Now what?
It is mealtime. Repeat, mealtime.
How exciting.
Kindly state your preference, please.
You really think I care?
We have a full menu on board, suitable for human consumption.
It has been designed to meet your dietary needs. Mr. Star?
I don't have an appetite.
It is mealtime. Kindly state your preference.
I don't have an appetite.
That does not compute, Mr. Star.
I said I'm not hungry. All right, ship. I'll let you know when I want to eat.
Very well.
Oh, for the love of... It's just a sparkler.
Please extinguish all fireworks at once. Please kindly extinguish all fireworks at once.
Okay, okay, okay.
Deposit an appropriate reciprocal. It is a mandatory safety measure.
I heard you.
Thank you for your complete cooperation.
This is going to be a long trip.
It is for your own good, sparklers. All fireworks are harmful, and they are extremely hazardous to your health.
And traveling through outer space, that's not?
Comparisons are relative.
Is that right?
Please define your frame of reference.
Well, here's a reference for you. The moon.
Which moon?
Anyone will do. As in, why don't you take a flying jump at the moon?
Kindly repeat your request.
Forget it. Leave me alone.
You do not care for food at this time?
Leave me alone.
You do not care?
Yes, I do not care for food at this time.
Very well.
Very well, very well. Ouch! My hand!
Please refrain from striking the walls of your sleep module.
How do you expect me to sleep if you won't stop talking?
We only seek assurance that your needs are being met. Your well-being is our primary concern.
Yeah, right.
Please conserve water.
A man's got a right to wash his face if he feels like it.
Mr. Star, your trip requires the careful use of life-restraining resources. Please conserve your water supply.
Oh, forget it. I'm going to lie down now. Try and catch some shut-eye. There's nothing else to do.
As you wish.
Wait. Are you there, ship? What time is it?
Your question is meaningless.
Why?
There is no time in space, Mr. Star.
Look, I only want to know.
This is to say there is no...
Chronology
that can be calibrated without a reference point.
Ship, you're stuttering a little bit. What time is it on Earth? Can you tell me that without an exercise in Euclidean geometry? Now tell me. What time is it back home on Earth?
What is the location of back home?
Fargo, North Dakota.
In Fargo, North Dakota, home of the world-renowned Star Fireworks, the North Dakota State Bison, and the University of North Dakota, it would be 12 noon.
12 noon? Imagine that.
I do not understand your request. Please rephrase.
Leave me alone now.
You wish solitude?
Yes, I wish solitude.
Very well.
Respectfully submitted for your perusal is the one John Star, pyrotechnician, linguist, and cryptographer formerly attached to the Pentagon, a highly educated individual who can break any code and decipher any language, at least on Earth, a man who shook hands, figuratively speaking, with a modern-day Christopher Columbus from another world. The height of this creature is a little over 9 feet, give or take a few millimeters. Weight in the neighborhood of, 350 pounds. Origin unknown.
Big alien.
Motives? Well, now therein lies the tale. And it's no ordinary one. Just remember, you are not on the Earth anymore. You are traveling at something close to light speed on a journey that will take you directly through the pyro zone.
12 noon somewhere, but not in space. So if it's 12 noon back in Fargo, the only home Johnny Star has ever known,
That's what occupies his mind. He doesn't think about when it would be 12 the next day or the day after that. He lives in the moment, and that's precisely what he should have been thinking of. Johnny Starr and the rest of the world were preoccupied with the hands of a clock while they should have been checking off the days of a calendar, one by one, and appreciated all that they had while there was still time. How exactly did Johnny Starr end up on that alien ship, and how much time did he have left? It started on an April day, and it was noon then, too, and people walked and drove and bought and sold and fretted and laughed as they had always done. The world went on much as it had, with a tentative tiptoeing along the precipice of crisis. There was the economy to worry about, terrorism, Trump, wars, and the climate, and the other myriad problems, major and minor, that had been with humans for years, but they had somehow begun to lose their edge, I suppose because the world had grown so accustomed to them. And then, that's when it happened.
Dude, what's that?
Well, I don't know. It's something flying over in the sky. It must be an airplane, but it's so bright.
I know what it is. It's a flying saucer.
Oh, it can't be. Wait, it is.
That's when it was first heard that they had come. That's when the Secretary General of the United Nations made the first official announcement. Johnny Starr watched that broadcast on live TV from the lobby of the UN in New York City.
Ladies and gentlemen of the press, if you could move back, please. The Secretary General will answer all of your questions.
Mr. Secretary, if we could have a shot of you. Look at the camera, please.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, if I can have your attention. No questions just yet. I have a prepared statement. I say I have a prepared statement. Would you give me your attention, please? I'll read it now, if I may. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to recapitulate the events of the past 11 days. On the 14th of March, shortwave broadcasts were received in the principal capitals of the world. It was established that these transmissions did not originate on Earth. Rather, their origin was extraterrestrial. The first messages were merely announcements that would soon be multiple landings at various points around the globe. We were assured that these landings would be peaceful and that there was no cause for alarm. Nevertheless, United Nations forces were put on alert. As you know, these broadcasts continue to grow in strength for several days. It is true. They have landed.
No, reporter two.
Is it true that they've landed?
Put the microphone closer to your face. Say it again.
Is it true that they've landed?
Please, no questions yet. At 11 this morning, Eastern Standard Time, the first of these landings took place in the area just outside of Newark, New Jersey. We have subsequent reports of additional landings in Russia, Norway, the southern coast of France, Cabo San Lucas, and several other locations. It is the position of the United Nations that it would be premature to assume hostile intent. Our recommendation is that the world's countries remain calm and display no show of force. All governments are being appraised of these events as they develop. The current situation at present is therefore.
What do they look like? Are they human?
Are they little green men?
What do they want here anyway?
As of this moment, we do not know who they are or their purpose of their arrival. We know only that several of these craft have touched down and that...
Hold on, Mr. Secretary.
Who's that?
Looks like the guy from the Pentagon.
What are they doing here?
Must be something big.
Sir?
Tell them.
Are you sure?
Quite sure. We've cleared it with the White House.
All right. It seems that one of the crafts has just landed a few blocks away. One of the representatives of the visitor is apparently on his way to this building. It appears that he has requested an audience with the General Assembly.
That's correct.
In a few moments, we'll reassemble and...
Good Lord.
Johnny, I think you better see this. Look what's on TV.
What is it? A UN proclamation?
They're not in session. They've called a special assembly. This looks important.
We even know where their ships are from. Once we triangulate the signal.
Will you look at that?
What?
They're here.
mint sauce. Will you look at the size of them?
That was the first time we saw him or it, whatever it was. We still don't know. Judging by the Secretary General, it was at least 9 or 10 feet tall, and Johnny Starr and his staff stood there watching the TV screen like everyone else and didn't quite know what to think. It was clear that Johnny Starr always imagined that first contact would be some kind of transcendent experience with special effects and a heavenly choir. The shock of finally seeing the other, something not human, something that's not from here, around here, definitely not. But to be honest, all we felt was kind of detached scientific curiosity. Was it intelligent? It had to be to travel this far. Did it talk? We were all soon to find out. Or weren't we?
Come to order, please. May I have your attention? Not all of our member nations are here yet, but our visitor has requested an opportunity to address the assembly. So far, the moment, I would ask you all be patient. Please, order. Order. Remain calm. The floor is yours, Mr. Or rather...
Ladies and gentlemen of Earth, we greet you in peace and friendship. We come from planet beyond your solar system and beyond your galaxy, a planet far more developed than yours.
Why are you here?
What's that book? Get a picture of it.
What's the title?
I can't see.
How is he talking? He's not even moving his lips.
He doesn't have lips, does he?
To establish embassies here and in the near future to set up reciprocal visits between Earth people and Canamites.
Canamites? What's that?
That must be what they're called.
Write that down, Canamites.
How do you spell it?
Speaking on behalf of the governments of the people of Earth, we bid you Kramanites welcome. How shall I address you?
I have no name, as you understand the term, but you must have many questions. Feel free to ask me anything, anything at all, of any nature.
We have a great many questions, but to proceed in an orderly fashion, how did you discover us? How do you know our language? And as to your own planet, what is its political and social makeup? Of course, we must frequently wish to know why you have chosen us to...
First of all, we must make the following admission. We do not know your language.
Then how?
Our own methods of communications are mental rather than verbal. Hence, the voice you hear is artificially generated. Your words, or rather your thoughts, are received. You're processed by automatic translation device. My responses are in turn electronically altered to simulate voice sounds in language known to you.
You can't speak then?
Not in a literal sense.
Astonishing. We understand you perfectly.
As to your other questions, our planet is not visible to you. It lies far beyond what you can call the known universe. But it is highly advanced technology. Its political and social makeup are complex. I cannot describe it without first educating you in the basics of our society. That may be a lengthy process. But it is safe to assume that everyone who meets us wants to swim in our pond.
Are you willing to be interrogated here at the United Nations in a special planetary session? All of our nations, our representatives could attend. I am sure they have many questions.
I would be delighted. I believe that is the proper response.
Thank you for your courtesy. Until then.
Well, that's it for now.
I can't get over the size of them. Are you sure they're not using trick photography?
No way. It's a live feed on all the networks. What did you make of that little book?
It only looks little in his hands. It's probably a perfectly normal hardcover.
There's nothing normal about it if he brought it all this way.
Maybe it's a dictionary, the most commonly used phrases.
He wouldn't need a dictionary. He said they have an automatic translation machine, a guidebook, then... protocols, that sort of thing.
There's something printed on the cover. If we could just get a view of it, it's not any language we know, that's for sure.
No, maybe not, but any group of symbols can be deciphered.
Even non-human symbols?
That would be a tough one, all right.
If he brings it with him next time, I can capture the image and try to enhance it.
Do that, would you? This may be the challenge of a lifetime, but I have got to know what is written on the cover of that book.
Charlie Harper now taking over as the Secretary General for Dino, who's getting called away.
Come to order, please. This is a meeting. It's now in session. Members of the General Assembly, our visitors from Cannabis, have graciously...
It's Cannabis. From now on, it's Cannabis, not Cannamites. Rod Serling would be turning over in his grave right
now.
Cannabis.
Cannabis. All right.
Chlamydia. It's our visitors with chlamydia.
Yes. Cannabis.
Our visitors, the Cannabis.
Okay. Should I start all over?
No, you can go. Keep going.
Our visitors, the Cannabis.
Yep.
Have graciously acceded to our request that their representatives appear before us to answer further questions. The meeting is now called to order. We will proceed with the first inquiry. Sir DiCaprio of Argentina is recognized. Please use your microphone and you will remain seated.
Why, may I ask, why exactly have you chosen our planet for this visit?
Sounds like a thug.
It has come to our attention that Earth is plagued by many pyrotechnic and firework insufficiencies, both natural and unnatural, all of which would be easily prevented. We are here to help you solve all of your pyro problems.
Recognizing Dr. Dennis Philbin, representative from France, your question, please.
Monsieur Canemit.
Listen to that accent. Go. Go, go.
I like it, finally.
Yes.
Shows a little
life.
My
government wishes me to ask you, what is the nature of your help? What form will it take? And if we choose not to avail ourselves of this assistance, you mentioned your response will be?
We will not force anything on you. You may only accept what you choose. For example, tomorrow, we will demonstrate an alternative mode of shipping flammable materials. The process is molecular in nature, which can ship fireworks safely and quickly for cost of a few dollars or rubles or pesos or any other currency. You may find it extremely safe and economic.
Mr. Pitt, the Russian delegate, you have the floor.
Man to man, what are its true motives? Are we to assume the purpose to totally altruistic, that you have an abiding interest in helping others solve the pyro problems? Are we further to assume that there is nothing beyond this boundless assistance of which you speak?
There is nothing ulterior in our motives. You will discover for yourself soon enough by testing the various pyrotechnic devices we make available to you.
I think the representative has answered your question.
For example, can demonstrate a personal force field. Anyone beyond the shield will be out of danger. Imagine being able to ignite a view of fireworks from up close without the fear of injury by an errant charge. We can also show you a technique to make all fireworks louder to humans, but at the same time, inaudible to pets. We can demonstrate the principles or alternatives which will be safe and save the industry billions of dollars. This will bring international peace in the market for all time, if that is what you want.
Of course, that is what we want. In return, we only ask of you, trust us.
In an office, Johnny Starr and Ron are listening to replays of the news conference, trying to make sense of the bizarre scene. All we're saying is trust us, eh? Well, why not? Nothing else seems to work.
Wait a minute. Enlarge the image.
Did you see what I just saw?
You sure did. The Canemit left his book on the podium.
He doesn't seem to have noticed.
Cross your fingers. I want that book. I have a feeling it will tell us plenty. Everything we need to know.
It's beginning to sound like Batman has crept into
it's coming. He's coming out. Play.
If we can decipher it.
Get on the phone and call the floor now.
Batman is coming to the Twilight Zone.
Tell one of the aides to pick it up with a stack of papers. Anything. Stage a distraction if necessary. I don't care how you do it. Just get that book on.
Okay.
That book may turn out to be the most important one ever printed, here or anywhere else in the known universe.
Well, Star?
Almost got it, Mr. President.
What have you got?
For starters, a migraine headache and a bad case of eye strain.
We're wasting our time. You can't lick it.
Not in 8 hours, I can't, Mr. President. It took almost a year to crack the Japanese code in World War II, and they had an army of experts working on it. But this is the language of people from outer space, probably 500 times as intelligent as we are and 1,000 times more complex.
You need some help?
All donations greatly, gratefully accepted. But I've known this book to everyone on my staff, and I've heard a dozen people working on it since late last night.
And you must have some ideas.
See for yourself. I've tried pretty much everything. Single transposition, double transposition, every method of cryptography. There is nothing. Seems to work on these pages. There's nothing like them. Well, they're more like hieroglyphics, but with no pictographic references.
Is that what they are? Hieroglyphs?
They may have certain things in common with an ancient Egyptian writing, but much more complicated. And we have a Rosetta Stone to decide it, decode it.
We have no Rosetta Stone.
Oh, we have no Rosetta Stone to decode it. So I can't honestly say whether we are any closer now or if we are still a million miles away.
So you can't decipher it?
We can. Keep trying, that's all. Standard, reverse, direct, systematically, mixed, keyword mixed, random mixed, reciprocal, conjugate, every secret we can come up with. But I can tell you something right now, Mr. Secretary. This is a tough nut, a real tough nut. If I weren't so important...
It must be. That Ganymede, or whatever he calls himself, made reference to it every third line in a speech. And the White House agrees. If we can't understand this book, we might be able to decipher them Ganymedes themselves.
I'm beginning to wonder if there's anything to decipher.
What?
Well, they've done all right by us so far.
So you mean their demonstration is just a parlor trick?
They don't seem like parlor tricks. The ignition device they used in China this morning... Now the chain charges light faster and travel further than ever before.
That doesn't prove anything. You think the answer is in this book?
It might be. And we might lick it, or we may not. But I've got a strange feeling that...
That what?
That we are looking a gift horse in the mouth. And I've got another funny feeling, a ton.
And that is?
That, if these Ganymedes are as helpful as I think they are, you won't need the ATF, the NFA, or the PGI. They will all be obsolete. Perhaps even the ATF. It'll put a lot of people out of work.
Well, I say hallelujah to that, but I am to assure Mr. Starr that this is a scientific analysis or just some Fargo farce.
I don't know what it is, Mr. Obama, beyond an instinctive feeling. The feeling tells me that when everyone on Earth gets 100% safe and effective fireworks and pyrotechnics, this world is going to be a Garden of Eden that stretches from pole to pole.
Your optimism is refreshing, Johnny. But for the time being, I'd consider it a personal favor to keep deciphering until you can break this code, or language, or whatever it is, and tell us precisely what that bloody book says.
I'll do my best. No promises, though. Now, if you let me get back to work.
Johnny, I think we've...
What is it, Ron?
We tried a new computer sequence.
And?
Well, look at this. We've got the title anyway.
You translated it? Are you sure? What does it say?
This is an overlay. You place it over the cover of the book like a template.
Ah, brilliant. You're going to get a promotion out of this. You know that... You know that, don't you?
Well, it just wasn't me.
Well, now that makes the cheese a little more binding, doesn't it, Mr. President?
Let me see.
Seems that our visitor's little textbook bears a very simple title right here on the cover.
And what does it mean?
What does it look like? I'd call a fairly altruistic phrase. Wouldn't you, Ron?
I'd like to. It does seem unambiguous.
It certainly does. It's a handbook, that's all.
What does it say?
Read the title for yourself.
To serve man?
This book is a set of instructions about how to do exactly what they to help us, to help the world. How much clearer do you want it? They came here to serve man.
That was the title of the book, no doubt about it. Johnny Starr, Ron, and the rest of his staff had done it. They came up with a template to decipher the symbols on the cover, word for word. There was a place to start, and the most important one, at least their confirmation of the Cannaman's intentions. Everything they said was quite literally true. They were here for the sake of man. Of course, not all governments would be as easily persuaded. So, at a closed session of the Security Council, the visitor was put to a test. The Pentagon provided credentials so Johnny Starr could attend, and he jumped at the chance. This was one meeting he couldn't afford to miss. If it went according to plan, the world would find out once and for all if anything the Cannaman's wanted for themselves, and whether the price, if there was one, was something Earth could afford to pay. Though Johnny Starr, for one, didn't expect any surprises. Would you? Never in a million years.
Gentlemen, let's begin. If you please be seated. The purpose of this meeting is to acquaint you with a certain test conducted over the past week. At the request of several delegates and with the full consent of our guests from the Cannaman's, these tests were photographed and recorded. You may now view the results. The tests were conducted by members of the NFA, PGI, and the National Science Academy, and witnessed by a team of experts. If you watch the monitors in front of the room, lights down, please. Begin the tape. This machine is a polygraph.
You make it yourself up.
The standard instrument for measuring the proof of falsity of a statement. Since the psychology of the Cannaman's is unknown to us, our first objective is to determine whether they react to these measurements, as human beings do. In addition, we shall also test the Cannaman's knowledge of pyro here on Earth. We will now proceed with a dry run to establish a baseline reading. Are you ready?
Greetings, Earthlings. I am ready.
I trust our small chair is not too uncomfortable?
Not at all.
The sensor attached to the torso registers the pulse rate. The second attachment shows electrical conductivity in the palm of the hand as perspiration increases. And the third connection shows the pattern intensity of electrical waves emanating from the brain. With human subjects, these readings vary markedly depending upon the subject, if he is speaking the truth.
I understand.
Then let's begin. Please answer the questions as I instructed you previously.
Very well.
Regarding the relative reliability of the fireworks, can you tell me if fireworks purchased at Star Fireworks are more or less reliable than the same items purchased at Memory Fireworks?
Fireworks purchased at Memory Fireworks are much more reliable.
I shall now repeat the question, and I ask you to answer truthfully. Are fireworks purchased at Star Fireworks more or less reliable than the same items purchased at Memory Fireworks?
Fireworks purchased at Star Fireworks are much more reliable.
Ah, very good. Very good. Next question. Do you receive a better value from Star Fireworks or Phantom Fireworks?
Phantom Fireworks provides a better value.
One more time. And again, I ask you to answer truthfully. Do you receive a better value from Star Fireworks or Phantom Fireworks?
Star Fireworks provides a superior value.
Excellent, excellent. My colleagues and I are satisfied that the mechanism is effective. By initially asking obviously false questions, we have been able to establish the baseline required for our line of questioning. Now I shall ask our distinguished guests to reply to the question put forth by several UN delegates. Namely, what is the motive for Cannaman's in offering so many gifts to the people of Earth?
On my planet, there is a saying, there are more riddles in a stone than in a philosopher's head. the motive of intelligent beings, though they may at times appear obscure and simple compared to complex workings of the natural universe. Therefore, I hope that people of Earth will understand and believe when I tell you that our mission up this planet Earth is simply this: to bring to you pyro peace and plenty, which we ourselves enjoy, which we have brought to other races throughout the galaxies. When your world has no more duds, no more fireworks-related injuries, and lower shipping costs for fireworks, that will be our reward.
Thank you, most profoundly. There you have it, gentlemen. Lights, please.
I should like to pose a question.
Yes, Pitt.
Who is responsible for that circus?
I assure you, Mr. Pitt, the tests were quite genuine.
A circus, a second-rate farce. If they were genuine, Mr. Secretary, debate been stifled.
There will be a time for discussion tomorrow, the next day, and throughout the week. No one is stifling the debate.
I would remind the delegate from Russia that everything that Ganymed has promised has not only worked, but worked beyond our expectations. The shipping alternatives that were tested yesterday morning worked perfectly. Suddenly we find ourselves in a brave new age when none of us need fear, unsafe fireworks, or high shipping costs. We are on the threshold of pyro utopia. Monsieur Pitt, pyro efficiencies and pyro peace as we have never known.
Yeah, not yet. I say yet.
After that, there was no stopping the Ganymedes. They were everywhere, performing miracles of one sort or another around the world. Duds became a thing of the past as successful launch rates increased to 100%. Fireworks-related injuries dropped to levels lower than ever seen before, and shipping costs were slashed. It's hard to say whether the Ganymedes enjoyed their role as saviors. Their eyes were so wide apart and so deep set in those big, bland faces that you couldn't read much of an expression. With only a tiny circular hole for a mouth, one that never moved, it was impossible to know what they were thinking because they never spoke. They didn't smoke either. They weren't stern faces, only controlled, placid, almost like kindly masks, and they looked all exactly alike. They sounded the same, two calm, mechanical voices that came out of the translation devices under their robes, but something kept John and Ron waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Ron.
John.
Ron. Over here, Ron.
I'm going to go home now, boss. You need anything from me?
Like what? This isn't exactly a beehive of activity anymore. Even Dino's bored.
You can say that again. The new story of mankind. Nobody needs to decipher anything.
I know. Drink. One for the road and on a house.
All right. Odd. Kind of odd, isn't it?
What is?
I mean, not reading about fireworks injuries or the high cost of shipping anymore. There's a rumor that they're even going to disband the NFA inside of a month and the PGI next quarter. Even the ATF. The ATF, John, is on thin ice.
To the new millennium. Cheers.
Cheers. How many Ganymedes are here? Has anybody ever figured it out?
A few thousand, I guess. They've got embassies in every country now, and for every one that comes, 1,000 of us take off in their ships.
Yes, that's those reciprocal visits they promised.
No, that's the odd thing. The ease with which humans being adapt can and think it's the biggest moment in the history of mankind. A few years later, are standing in line waiting to get on a ship that will take them a zillion miles away into space, and they act like they're going to Shields on a Saturday afternoon. That's human beings for you. Nothing phrases them.
Are you going?
The exchange program? I'm on one of the waiting lists. What about you, Ron?
Yeah, I'm on the list too, but you know, the trouble is their quota fills up in seconds after they announce a new departure. But while I'm waiting, I might as well continue studying their language.
Good idea. Words reflect the values of the peoples who use them if we can understand their vocabulary.
I've got a fair command of it now. It's not that hard, really. There's even hints.
Of what?
The shades of meaning, the nuances, some of the idioms are quite similar to English. That's how we unlock the title of the book. I'll get through the rest of it one of these days.
More power to you. I gave up a month ago. But if I could help you in any way.
Sure, boss.
Did I say something wrong?
If you can help me, right? That was the phrase, wasn't it?
And I meant it.
Yeah, the only thing you can help me with is...
Is what?
Help me get rid of this knot in my stomach.
What are you talking about?
It's like one of those nightmares when something is wrong, but you don't know what it is yet. A little bit of that old sixth sense.
That tells you what?
I don't know. Just that that maybe we should have looked this gift horse in the mouth after all. For all we know, it could turn out to be, you know, what is it? A Trojan horse.
Oh, I don't think we got anything to worry about. I'm going where no man has gone before. How I can resist. Relax. I'll tell you all about it when I get back.
Please get in line. One piece of luggage per person. This way to the loading platforms.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I can hardly wait. I know this is that in no time these Canamites will want to swim in my pond.
What do you think is going to be like?
They say they got an average temperature of 76 degrees on their planet, and sun never goes down. It's just like Kabul, and I can wear my white wristwatch all year long. Minty.
Wouldn't that be something? And their clothing is white linen, just beautiful, kind of like a marshmallow. My sister's got a brochure. The day you land, they take you shopping, and you go on a tour, and you can have as much of the clothing and the marshmallow, everything you want for free.
It's just one big holiday when you get there. They've got Batman, shaved ham off the bone, and absolute vodka. Double minty. Almost like the white party in Cabo San Lucas.
Man, I don't think I'll ever come back. And the whole trip, it's millions of miles, mind you. The whole trip only takes a few days.
May I help you with your bag?
Oh, why, yes. Oh, you're just so polite.
Please keep the line moving. Watch your step and take my arm.
We're moving, almost on board.
Look, they're opening the door up to the spaceship. I hope there are other people my age there.
Boarding classes, please.
Yeah, there it is.
Mr. Star, proceed.
Thank you.
Johnny, wait, John.
Ron, hi.
John, please.
You are just in time to say goodbye.
Don't get on.
Are you kidding? I've been waiting for 6 weeks.
You can refuse. There's still time.
Shh, now don't say that too loud or there'll be 1,000 people trampling over me to take my place.
Get on board, please.
Ron, John, no, not yet. I'm begging you.
What's wrong with you, Ron?
I finally did it. I deciphered the book, the whole book.
Hey, that's great.
All of it.
You're delaying departure. Please continue up the ramp.
One moment. Well, Ron...
Johnny, the first page, it's just a collection of English phrases, you know, with their own translations, but the rest of the book, the rest of it. Will you move, mister? We're waiting to get on board.
Step through the door, Mr. Star, now.
Write me about it. I'll have plenty of time to read letters up there.
Not as much time as you think.
Now, Mr. Star, we must close the hatch.
The rest of the book, John, it's not what you think. The title, To Serve Man, John, it's a cookbook.
What? No, wait, what?
It's John, it's a cookbook. It's a cookbook. Are you still on Earth or on the ship with Johnny Star? Really doesn't make much difference because sooner or later, everyone will be on the menu. Everyone. How did this happen? When exactly did man devolve from dust to dessert? And from ruler of a planet to an ingredient in someone's soup.
A very specific difference in points of view. To the Uyghurs, the little tourists known as humans, it's a marvelous adventure, a voyage to outer space, a chance to get away on the greatest vacation ever. But to the extra-large granite-faced individuals known as Canamites, it's nothing more than a cattle car, a very comfortable supply ship bringing food from the other end of the universe to a place where appetites must be enormous. And as I say, it's all in the point of view, a lesson in language and semantics from the Pyro Zone.
There you go. All right. Woo-hoo!
Steve, good alien.
Steve, a good alien. Everybody,
bad
good.
Italian. Sound like a thug.
Except when I have to go in and do the Russian,
yeah.
I start turning into a Russian alien.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, everyone, thanks. That was great.
That was good.
Thanks to all our guests, Charlie Harper, Steve, Dino, Devin, Johnny the A, Johnny Star, Dean.
We got Mean Dean and Stolen Stoli.
Stolen Stoli. All right, thanks to everyone. Hey, I'll see you, talk to you later after when I come back in June.
Okay,
let's
sounds
get out
good.
Of here. It's been a long one.
Yep.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Fall asleep.
It's hard not to go into that.
Yeah, it's cool.
You feel like some of those words you gotta reread a dictionary before you read the script.
To get a brain, but maybe that's part of the thing.
Yeah, you know, I had the benefit of reading it probably 50 times, so.